Hi, it's Julie.
And I'm Samantha, and this is Stick to Tape.
This is Stick to Tape. It's episode 51. Jimmy Howard could never.
Because you know why? Jimmy Howard could never. I went to a Red Wings game on Friday because, as you know, your girl is a quarter season ticket holder. And I was really sad because I knew that the Red Wings were 1-11-1 in their last 13. And they were playing the Bruins, who were top of the Atlantic. And I was like, well, I can't wait to see them lose. And instead of them losing, and instead of Jimmy Howard being in net, the Red Wings won 4-2, and Jonathan Bernier was in net, and he was very good, and also he got 2 assists, and only one of them was on an empty netter. He was very, very cute. He got a third star, and he was very, very cute, and because it was Hockey Fight Cancer Night, and so he had his, like, lavender goalie mask. It was great. It was very exciting. Also, it was fun to cheer for the Red Wings, to cheer for the home team, especially beating top of their division. And they won, and it was great. And Robbie Fabry scored his first 2 goals as a Red Wing. Because he had just been traded from St. Louis for Jacob De La Rose on Wednesday, I think. And it was his first game as a Red Wing, and he scored 2 goals, including the... Did he score a game winner? I don't know if he scored the game winner, but he did score 2 goals. And they both came on a power play, and it was great.
Excellent.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah. I love hockey.
I reluctantly love hockey.
I mean, I did tweet hockey was a mistake literally last night, but I still love it.
Yeah, me too.
I would love it more if I were less emotionally invested in certain teams,
truly.
I think is what it is.
Yeah.
Just like watching a game is a lot of fun, but being emotionally invested means that you're like, why is this happening to me?
Yeah. Well, I think I said that last night too, because we were watching an OT and like... I know some people love OT, but I genuinely hate it. It makes me, like, if I'm emotionally invested in a team, I hate OT. Like, it sucks. And
yeah, but there was an OT between, like, the Sabres and the Coyotes earlier this year, and, like, if the Sabres had lost, that would have been fine. I didn't really care. And it was super exciting. And I think that it's a lot of fun as long as you're not, like, if they lose, I'm going to be real sad.
Yeah.
So.
Sports is a mistake.
Sports is a mistake. Not a mistake is I currently have the Leafs-Blackhawks game on.
We
and they are,
have that game on because I also have it on.
We do. And it's the first intermission, and they keep showing Jonathan Toews getting into a fight with Jake Muzzin, and it is incredible for me as a Jonathan Toews fan. Oh my god. Oh. Hockey is the best. Okay.
You're a goof.
Anyway. Let's get into it. Jimmy Howard could never.
yeah, he couldn't.
Do you just want to go right into the Penguins corner?
No.
Okay.
I'm just gonna talk about the stuff I don't want to talk about, and then we can talk about that. So,
okay.
Last week we talked to you because I had just gone to see the Flames play at Columbus, and Milan Lucic is an idiot, and he. Attacked that kid. He ended up getting suspended for 2 games. And then, what was the other one? Then, God, Nick Foligno apparently elbowed Pierre Edward Belmare last night against the Avalanche.
Yeah, it was last night.
Was it last night?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It would have to be because they...
Anyways, he elbowed Pierre Edward Belmare of the Avalanche, and he is going to have a hearing, and I guess he was, like, really upset with himself when he did it. Like, I saw some quotes running around there where he said he felt sick to his stomach, and he felt bad about it, which is pretty much more remorse than I've ever seen ever from a hockey player.
Oh, true, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Tom Wilson would never, yeah, because sure, he's a piece of shit, but yeah. whatever.
Yeah, I don't... He's not, I think...
I mean, you know, kind of what happens. I don't know. Like, I'm sure that the people do reach out, but, like, that was more than I've seen in a long time from certain players. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that. And then, welcome to a new segment of Stick to Tape. It's called You're Full of Shit, Gary.
I don't want this to be a recurring segment.
Well, as long as Gary Bettman's around, it's gonna be around.
I know, but I don't want it to be like every week because I can't deal with that much Gary Bettman.
Too bad. Anyways, this week Gary Bettman opened his big fat mouth and was talking about how players going to the Olympics, while he knows that they do like it and how the fans like it, it's just too disruptive to the NHL season. To which I say, you're full of shit, Gary. They literally just sent the Sabres and the Lightning to Sweden in November.
Yeah.
Like, I get it if you did it at the beginning of the season, but it was in November.
Yeah, they didn't play for, like, 4 or 5 straight games because they were in fucking Sweden.
Yep. So... like, what the hell? That's not a disruption, but this is? Like...
yeah.
How dare you, Gerald? And I know it's because they can't make money off of it, which makes it even shittier.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks. And basically, if I get deprived of seeing Austin Matthews play on Team USA for his entire career, I'm gonna be pissed. Like, I wanna see Austin play for Team USA. I wanna see Sidney Crosby win for Canada, even though it'll hurt me, specifically. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I want to see. Like, I think it's shitty that they don't get that opportunity to represent their country. Because you damn
I
want to
see Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid play on the same team.
Fucking A, right, bitch. Like, I want to
see
that
happen.
Give me
Sidney Crosby
happen.
And Connor McDavid. Like, even when they were like, oh, hey... we're not gonna, when they made up the fucking World Cup, instead of giving us Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid on the same team, they gave Connor McDavid his own baby team, which was incredible. I love team babies, but like, and you know Davo wants to play with Sid, like, let it happen. Why, Gary?
Because Gary hates us, and he loves money. He's a slave to the almighty dollar. Who isn't? But still. I'm super annoyed at Gary, and I'm super annoyed at the NHL for making this, because I think it's pretty shitty, and I'm mad that the players didn't make this a sticking point. Like, they're not allowed to bitch about it if they're not going to make it a sticking point. But I'm allowed to bitch about it because...
you weren't in the negotiations.
I'm not in the negotiations. I'm a fan, and who's getting robbed? Me. Because...
yeah.
But not that I trust Team USA to put together a good team anyways. They'll probably just let John Tortorella coach it again, which means it's gonna suck.
Put fucking Justin Abdelkader on there again.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, just kidding. It would be... they would have their own coach. It would be like Tony Granato or something. But anyways.
Leave Phil Kessel at home.
Oh my God, that would be dumb.
Just sitting around with my dog, feeling like there's something important I should be doing.
Oh my God, he's a legend. The last time we had an Olympic squad, Bo Bennett was on that team.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Bo Bennett was on the Olympic team?
I'm pretty sure Bo Bennett was on that Olympic squad. he was in those old, those USA hockey jerseys. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Are you going to look it up?
I have to look it up. That doesn't sound right.
Okay, I might be wrong.
I mean, he did play with Sid, but he was never like... He played some with Sid. Bum, bum, bum. The music video. Let's do this.
Are you going to find it? Anyway, Gary's
I'm looking for it, yeah.
And I hate him, and I'm really mad, and I don't want to bitch about this for 4 years, but I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Just kidding, it's only like 2 more years.
Oh, no, I don't think so, because he had a broken wrist.
Oh. Was he supposed to be there, though?
I don't know.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Never mind. Just cut this out and post.
Because he got a broken wrist in November.
Just kidding.
And then he didn't come back until mid-March.
Okay. Well, just like I said, cut it out and post. Just kidding.
He's played for Worlds.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
That has to be what it is.
Probably. Anyways, I don't care anymore.
Anyway, I want them to go to the Olympics, and if they don't, it's gonna fucking suck. I don't want to deal with, like, Gary.
Then we'll have to, there will be another Olympic athletes from Russia winning the gold. That was bullshit.
Yeah, it was.
Like, if you're gonna ban Russia, all right. Don't let them form a team. Don't care, whatever. Okay. Moving on. here's, like, oh my god, the hometown hockey thing. Just had a whole segment about Paul Bissonnette, and his mom is so cute.
Like, oh my god.
Like, fuck him just for being a piece of shit that's, like, attached to the teat of Barstool, but his mom's really cute. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. Now we can go into Penguin's Corner.
Penguin's Corner! Okay, the most important thing from Penguin's Corner is that last Sunday, Brian Dumoulin missed practice because his son was born. Brayden Joseph Dumoulin. Brian Dumoulin is officially a DILF. the best part is that, like, his first game back, like, in Boston, they showed two different pictures on the Penguins broadcast. Kayla Dumoulin has posted pictures. Brian Dumoulin posted pictures of the baby and of him and Kayla and the baby and his parents and the baby, and then a picture of his mom and himself as a baby. It was incredible. There have been so many pictures of this baby, and he is so cute.
He's so cute.
He's got beautiful eyes. He is so small, and Brian Dumoulin's hands are so large. And unfortunately, Brian Dumoulin did not get a new dad goal after the baby was born, but he did get that goal before the baby was born, and I think that was his new dad goal.
He knew it was coming.
Yeah. And the Penguins had a weird schedule.
Yeah.
Where they were in Boston, and then they were in New York for the Islanders. They practiced in Jersey, and Dumo played in Boston, and then he went home because they were off for like 3 days. He went home for like 3 days, and then he came back and played in the Isles game. Mm-hmm. And he just like skipped practice, and I let him go home, and I think that's very cute, and I love Brayden Dumoulin. He's so cute.
So I'm very happy for them.
Welcome to the world, Brayden Dumoulin. Baby. So the Penguins played 3 times this week, which is at least one up from last week.
Oh my god, did they? I don't remember happened.
The Penguins played on Tuesday in Boston. They played on Friday on the island.
Oh, that's right.
And they played on Saturday in Pittsburgh against the Blackhawks. Tuesday in Boston, they went down 3-0, and then they scored.
Thursday on the island.
Oh, they played Thursday on the island. Yeah, you're right. And so they, Tuesday in Boston, they went down 3-0.
Jesus,
and then
they
scored 4 goals in the second, including an absolutely beautiful goal from a first goal from John Marino, defenseman, baby defenseman, John Marino, who was in the box. On a penalty, he got out of the box, and the puck was coming towards him, and he streaked up ice, and he hooked it over Tuukka, and he got...
Oh, it wasn't Tuukka. It was Yaro Halak.
Oh, he hooked it over Halak, and it was fucking incredible. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful goddamn goal, especially from a defenseman, and especially from a baby defenseman. He is so good.
His whole family was there, by the way. That's basically a hometown goal for him. Like, he grew up near there.
He grew up in Boston. His whole family was there. They talked to his mom, like, during intermission and all of this, and then he scored the goal. He's the first Boston-born player to score his first goal in Boston since 2002. It was incredible.
It was. And you know what else was incredible about that game?
What?
Evgeny Malkin's fucking spinorama past the Brian Rust.
That was that game?
Yeah. That was that game.
He's so good. Evgeny Malkin is so good. I tweeted this last night. I was watching it. I really love just watching him skate, like, you can tell.
You know it's him. Yeah, and that's the thing, too.
You don't even need to see the numbers.
He's, like, because they were, I saw that their articles where they're talking about how Gino needs to be Gino, and I agree. He's definitely doing better this year than he was last year. You can tell he's got that jump, and he's got that drive. And he'd said that before he got injured last month, that he was, like, really ready to get out there. And
he was the only good player in their opening game.
Yeah, and he's so good. He was fast. And last night, when I watched last night, he was everywhere. Just absolutely everywhere. And he was more engaged than he was last year, if that's anything. He was incredible, and it was really fun to watch him play. And I love watching him play, and I love watching him skate, and he's just big, and
it is so fun to watch him play. And the thing is the other thing is that, like, he's been playing with Galchenyuk and I think Hornquist, but Hornquist is out longer term, they said. Surprise. And then in the, the end of the Boston game is that then Boston came back and scored 3 more goals.
Yeah.
And we lost 6-4.
Yeah, 3 more goals. But they had moved. Galchenyuk didn't get as much. Like, they're building chemistry, but Galchenyuk hasn't scored. So,
They moved him. Did they move him in that game, or did they move it in the Isles game?
No, they moved it in that game because it was, I think it was McCann, Russ, and Malkin.
That's the Isles game.
That was the Isles game?
Mm-hmm. On Thursday,
well,
in the Isles
playing
game.
With Gino, because that was Russ and Gino scored in the Bruins game.
Because Horny was out.
Yeah.
But then against the Isles on Thursday, they went down 3-0. And then in the third, it may have been in the second, but in the third, McCann, Malkin, Rust together, and they scored all 3 goals.
Yeah.
And then they scored, Brian Rust also scored in OT. I did not watch that game because I was like, it's going to be, they're going to play really well, and the Isles are going to put, they're going to call up a baby from the AHL, and he's going to stand on his head and make 125.
I'm sorry. I just, like, I don't mean to interrupt you, but everything makes sense now. Now I know why the Leafs are so bad. Dave Haxtell is behind their bench.
Why?
I don't know, but I just saw Dave fucking Haxtell, and that makes sense. Now I know why the Leafs are so fucking bad. I get it now.
It's also Mike
Babcock. It's Mike Babcock, but Dave Haxtell is fucking bad, so I get it now. Oh my god, Jesus H. Anyways.
Anyway.
That was him. I know it's him. I know that rat face anywhere.
The Penguins. I didn't watch the game. I went to a movie instead because I was like, if they're going to play incredibly well and they're going to, the Isles are going to call up an AHL goalie and he's going to make 125 saves and the Penguins are going to lose in regulation. But that didn't happen. The Penguins made it to OT.
Oh, it was Varlamov.
Yeah.
And the goalie, they made it because I worked.
They made it to OT.
I'm telling you a story.
They made it to OT, and then I listened to the game on the radio, like on the app radio, mm-hmm. and I sat in my car because they went to OT, and I was sitting in my, I made it home, and I was sitting in my car, and Brian Rust scored, and I screamed in my car alone, and it was incredible. It was so exciting. I love the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Do you want to know where I was when the Pittsburgh Penguins won that game?
Where?
In Subway.
Good.
Two of my kids were like, "Are you going to come see us at work tonight?" And I was like, "Well, I work, but I'll stop in after." Or no, I was going to Endless Shrimp. That's what I did. I went to Endless Shrimp with my friend, and then I stopped in at Subway to buy a sub because they were going to give me their discount, so...
All right.
I just talked to them for like an hour and I was standing there and when I pulled my phone out of my pocket and it said that they were even and I was like, wait a second, what? And then I looked at it again and it was like going to overtime and I was like, what? And then they won and I took a wrestling pose and like went down real low and I was like, yeah. And they were like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, yes. I was really excited.
The best part of that game against the Isles is that they were coming off of, they were in the middle of a 10-game win streak. And they were going for their 11th game.
The streak and is over, Susan Lucci.
The last time that they had a 10-game win streak, they played the Penguins, I think in 1990, I think it was in the 90s, I think it was like 93 or 94. They played the Penguins, and the Penguins were like,
fuck you.
And and they also lost that game. And the Penguins did it again this year.
Oh, yeah. The thing about that game that pissed me off is that people were tweeting about how it was about to be the fifth game in a row that the Pens lost to the Isles, and I was like, Jesus, I hate this. And then guess what happened? They fucking won an OT, and I was really happy.
They play the Isles two more times before the end of the month. I just want you to know that.
Please, could you not? Like, I genuinely hate the Islanders. Like, I hate them so much.
I know. They're doing a home and home over, like, 3 days. And I think it's the week before Thanksgiving. Like, I think they do, like, Monday and Wednesday on Thanksgiving week. Jeez, you know who's pretty good at hockey?
What?
Auston Matthews. He's good at hockey. He didn't do anything. He stripped a Blackhawk of the puck. And I was like, no, it's pretty good. And then last night, on Saturday, the Pittsburgh Penguins, who the last time the Pittsburgh Penguins beat the Chicago Blackhawks was in March of 2014, which here's a fun tidbit about that game. Jonathan Toews and Sidney Crosby were both on the 2010 Olympic roster for Canada, and they were both on the 2014 Olympic roster for Canada. And so they had both played for Canada together, and through various concussions and injuries, because both of them had almost career-ending concussions before 2014, they had not played against each other as, you know, Blackhawks and Penguins until 2014, and that was like a month after they'd won their second gold together, and they played against each other, and that was the last time that the Penguins beat the Blackhawks. And ever since then, the Penguins have taken them to OT a few times, but the Blackhawks have won every single game, including a gong show 10-1 game in like 2017.
Thanks, Auntie Niemi,
who once helped the Chicago Blackhawks to the first of their cups in the modern era. But then last night, the Pittsburgh Penguins went down 2-0 to the Chicago Blackhawks, and then they tied it, and then they won in a shootout. Shootouts are the fucking worst.
True.
They're so goddamn bad, but they won in a shootout.
They did. The streak is over, Susan Lucci.
They beat the Chicago Blackhawks for the first time in 10 games in 5 years.
Yeah, they were, those 10 games, they were 0-7-3.
Yeah, I've seen them go to OT a couple times.
We saw them lose together, remember?
We did.
You were so mad, by the way.
I did not want them to win.
We went to Pittsburgh to watch the Blackhawks play, and Samantha was so mad, she took off her Jonathan Toews jersey. She took it off. She was so mad. We were walking out, and she, like, whipped it off and threw it in her bag. She was pissed. It was so funny. She was so mad. Oh.
I have a lot of feelings about Jonathan Toews, and I have a lot of feelings about Sidney Crosby, but I always want the Penguins to win. There's not a team that I want to beat the Penguins at any point. Unless, like, the Penguins are solidly in the playoffs, and then the Maple Leafs are trying to get in the playoffs for the first time in like 5 years or something, and the Penguins lose 5-3 while we're in Canada. You know, that's the only time that I was ever like, yeah, you know what? The Penguins can lose because the Penguins were solidly in the playoffs. And then the Penguins won the second of their back-to-back cups that year. So, like, it's fine. Everything worked out fine.
Yeah, you're right.
But, like, every other time, I want the Penguins to win. And especially, God, that was such a... Because that was, like... That was 2 years ago, and they were playing so bad. And, like, Gino was, like, hurt or something and was not playing well. And I was like, why is this happening? Why are they doing... It's not like the Blackhawks were good. Blackhawks haven't been good in such a long time.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of not good stuff... So, against the Blackhawks last night, Sidney Crosby got left in the second period with a lower body injury. We don't know what it is, we don't know how bad it is, and we do not have a timeline.
Yay!
Probably know on Monday, which is tomorrow.
Yeah, we should learn more tomorrow.
But we don't know how bad it is, what it is. All we know is that it looked like he collided with a Blackhawk, and he kind of went back and he wobbled a bit, and then he got hit in the toe later in that game. So we don't know if, like, anything happened there or what happened there, but he's out, and that's fucking scary, and it sucks a lot.
And Tanger is week to week.
Tanger's week to week, yeah. And Hornqvist.
Horny is out.
Yeah.
Longer term.
So the Penguins have been riddled with injuries, but as we know historically, Evgeny Malkin is better with Sid out of the lineup. So we'll see if he. I mean, he's he's like, he's the dad that goes through the McDonald's drive-thru and only orders a black coffee while the kids are screaming McDonald's. So we'll see what he does.
Yeah, I think, and especially like you said, he's like on a tear. He's got that jump. I think he's, and also like, Penguins are playing well. The Penguins, we have depth. We haven't had to worry about not having Sidney Crosby yet, which is,
even when he took that puck off the jaw, he came back, he only missed a shift, but like, this could be worse, but they also might have just pulled him out for precaution and he'll be like, I'm good to go. We don't know.
Yeah. So we don't know. We'll find out. Either way, I do have faith in that this team can push it.
They can win games without him.
This is a good, it's a good group.
Yeah.
I think. And they're biggies. And they're very.
That freaking fourth line is just they're the fourth outrageous. Line
has not been changed. Zach Aston-Reese, Teddy Bluger, and Brandon Tanev, they are very good. I think Brandon Tanev still leads the leagues in penalties drawn, which would be great if our power play could actually do something. We're 0-26 in the last few games. But, like sorry, I got distracted. But obviously I want Sid to be okay is the most important thing. But also, I am not like, it's, I don't think it's dire if he's out for a little while.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we can always call up freaking like Sam Lafferty.
Sam Lafferty's up. They call him up. They have him. He's on hand.
Yeah, like, I think we have, and we have good, like, we obviously do, because we were winning. Like, we have, we're playing well. Oh, God, I'm so, like, the Penguins are better than their record shows right now, and their record isn't that bad.
Yeah.
And I feel really good about this team, and I really like, right now, they're the only one of my teams that, like, I am making it a point to, like, watch the games, except sometimes I get really sad about, like, their puck luck. And I think if their puck luck starts turning around, like, the analytics behind this team, they're a very good team. And I love them deeply. And I like watching them. And they're a lot of fun. And we are going to see them this week. We're going to Pittsburgh on Saturday. We're going to see the Leafs at the Penguins. I love them so much. I'm really excited. I'm going to do the two jersey thing. I'm not, because that would be really expensive. But, you know, one Hyman, one McCann, my Hymcan jersey. Can't wait.
In lighter Penguins news, this week, Sidney Crosby donated the car he won at the All-Star Game last year to a veteran who's a single mother, and there is video of it, and that kid is fucking stoked. He's so excited about that car, and I think she was kind of in shock. She was in shock too, but the kid was like, "Can we get inside it?" And so it's like, "Yeah, if you want to get inside it, for sure." And like, he runs over to some other lady and tells her all about it. It's so cute. So that was part of like the Penguins Military Appreciation Night thing, and you know,
yeah.
So it was cool. That was a cool gesture from him, because as if he needs a car.
Right.
Like, it was funny because John Scott tweeted,
still driving mine.
John Scott's like, I'm still driving mine. And I'm like, yeah, John Scott, you're not Sidney Crosby. Like, you don't have bajillions of dollars in Tim Hortons money.
Huh? Yeah. He's a lot less money than Sidney Crosby.
You don't have like Adidas money and Tim Hortons money. So, yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, so Sid donated that car, which I thought was pretty cool.
It is cool.
It's cool. I love Sidney Crosby, especially because they like I said, he doesn't really need it. He has a Tesla or some shit.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he has a Tesla.
I think so. Yeah. I know anyway. G has one.
Does he?
Yeah, I'm pretty
Chris
sure.
Chris has one, too.
Oh, God.
Well, I also think Sidney Crosby is the kind of guy that gets a car and he keeps it for a long time, because I'm pretty sure he drives, like, a really fucking old Tahoe back up home. Like, I think he has an old car up there that he, because he only drives it, like, how many times a year?
It's believable. Anyway, Sidney Crosby is the best. Yeah, I know. Sidney Crosby is the best, and I love him deeply. And get also, well I think, get well soon. I think I tweeted it to the group chat. I messaged it to the group chat, and I was like, I hate him so much, I love him so deeply, or something. Mm-hmm. Sidney Crosby mood. Oh, because there was an article about, like, from, like, the equipment managers about all of his, like...
Oh my god, about his equipment?
Yeah, his weird equipment superstitions, and everybody was like, no. Nobody wanted to, like, make fun of him or anything, and it was like, you could tell that, like, they would die for Sidney Crosby, and it's like, I understand, because I also would. I was like, I hate him so much, I love him so deeply.
Yeah, it was like, his, like, all of his shit is, like, constantly being, like, serviced and replaced, like, his
like
chest
every
protector
single
is like from when juniors. It's fucking Jofa, which hasn't been made since like 1999. Like, I'm kidding. It's been made like it's like Jofa was absorbed by Reebok, which was absorbed by Adidas. So like that's it, or maybe it was CCM. I don't know. Like they're all intertwined at some point.
It's really like it gets repaired every game pretty much.
Yeah, or at least every week.
Yeah.
They're constantly fixing and resewing and like servicing like his Franken jock, which is disgusting, but hey, if it works, I guess.
Cuz he's a nightmare, but like everybody like all of the equipment were like, yeah, no, it's totally yeah, you know, it's just he likes what he likes, and everybody was so nice about it, and you could tell that, like, he is such a nice person to, like, instill that loyalty from, like, anybody around that team. Or who has been around that team. Oh, my God. That just reminds me, like, last night, Seth Rohrbach tweeted out the lineup from the last time the Penguins beat the Blackhawks, and that was, like, the year that I got into the Blackhawks was, like, that March 2014, and looking at the lineup, only one of those people who played that night is still on the team, and it's Sidney Crosby, because G was hurt, and three of the people on the team, Chris Kunitz, Rob Scuderi, and Olli Maatta, have all been on the Blackhawks at some point since then, and it's such a bad lineup. Fourth line center, Craig Adams, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh my God. Fucking,
like, Jason was on the team. It was ridiculous. Also, speaking of Olli Maatta, who came home to Pittsburgh for last night for the first time since he got traded, I watched the tribute video and I sobbed like a little baby, because that was the first non-Sid jersey that I bought, and like that was the first non-Sid or Geno person that I like imprinted on, and I love him so much. And I know he's on one of my teams, but hey, there he is. But he's my little duckling. He's my little penguin. And I'm sad. He's a lot. I love Olli Maatta. Anyway, the happier things. The Canadian women's national team and the U.S. women's national team have been playing at UPMC. They played Friday and Canada won, I think, 4-1. And they played today and Canada won 5-3. But the Penguins have been tweeting, except for, like, game tweets, that's all the Penguins have been tweeting about. It's all been MC from Penn's Inside Scoop, Michelle Cracchiolo. She has been tweeting about, she's been writing a bunch of articles and tweeting about it, and they've all been, and it's, like, you can tell how excited she is to get all of these stories, and, like, she got to talk to Marie-Philip Poulin, and, like, you can tell. It's so cute. Also, a few of the Penguins players were at the Friday game. I know that it was, I know Jared McCann was there, and I think, I know Brian Rust was there today, so it was Nick Bjugstad. But Jared McCann was definitely at the Friday game with a couple of other, I think John Marino and someone else. And Marie-Philip Poulin scored to put them up 4-1, and he was very excited, and he cheered, according to Michelle's live tweets. And then today, the Bjugstads took Layla Bjugstad, their tiny baby, to the game. And then yesterday, both of the women's teams were at the Penguins game, which was great. I know that Team USA had, they showed up at, like, a practice of, like, a girls' penguin, I don't know.
It was a hockey clinic.
Mm-hmm. It was a bunch of girls in penguin, little Penguins jerseys, and, Jocelyn Lamoureux, who scored the shootout goal in 2018 to get them the gold, did her shootout goal again on this baby goalie. And this is so funny. It's an incredible, like, the Deke is the fake in the head.
Oops, I did it again.
Yeah. She calls it the oops, I did it again. And she did it again on this baby goalie. And then after she scored, she, like, hugged the goalie. It was so cute. The Penguins tweeted a gif of it. It was great. And I love it. And I'm just so happy that it's the barest minimum thing that you can do, but I am so, and I have said this already this year, but I am so happy that the Penguins are still involved with women's hockey, and it's not just because of the family connection anymore. Yeah. Or, I mean, technically it is, because, like, once a Penguin, always a Penguin, pretty much, and Amanda Kessel was pretty much a Penguin.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm just so happy that they are helping to grow it. And I'm also happy that MC gets to, like,
see all of this. I think that's a big thing for her. She played hockey.
Yeah. And she's psyched to do it. And it's so fun to see how excited she is.
Mm-hmm. I love her.
That's a fucking hook. Yeah. All right. Sorry, I got distracted by Nylander versus Nylander.
That's fine, I get it. You want to talk about the Dallas Stars?
I can. I know that you didn't really want to talk about the Dallas Stars.
I don't really want to talk about it, but I think since a friend of the pod, Sarah, mentioned it in the group chat, maybe we should just wax on it for a moment. Here's the thing. I love the Dallas Stars, but I wish they were a whole heck of a lot more fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch them play. I saw them 3 times this year, and I was mad about spending money to see them play one of those times. They're incredibly frustrating. I love when they win because, damn, they can be fun and they can, you know, score goals and not stress me the fuck out. But, like, they're, like...
Well, Rupe can, at least.
Yeah, Rupe can. But, like, the rest of them, jeez Louise. Like, they're getting depth scoring now. Like, for the last couple of years, we've been bitching about them not having any depth. And now that they have depth, it's, like, their top line guys have forgotten how to score.
And yeah.
So I don't know what the deal is. I think it's the system, because their system fucking sucks and I hate it. Like, whatever shit they're doing is awful. And, like, they dump and chase, but they're not fast enough to do that. And they just need to carry the puck in. And apparently the Stars are really frustrated with Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, and John Klingberg. And I'm like, okay, so why did you tie him down with, like, all of these fucking old people? And, like, here's the thing, and I've talked about this before, and I've been talking about this thing, I think, since last deadline. Not, like, super publicly, but, like, to you guys. But, like,
yeah,
I think the Stars are angling for a Jamie Benn trade. And I think they've been doing that since horseshit gate.
Oh, 100% agree. And I definitely think that they are trying to. I saw a tweet. He played, like, today, he played the third lowest among all forwards.
They're slashing his ice time. They're moving him around. And it's weirdly, I can't believe, as the captain of this team, his face isn't all over the Winter Classic shit. It's all Tyler Seguin. And I think it's fucking weird. And I think that they're trying to move him out. We haven't heard anything about it, and I'm sure we would, because Sean Shapiro is a fucking rat, and he carries water for that entire fucking front office. Like, he's any information Sean Shapiro is getting, he's getting from the organization, and he wants you, like, if they want it out there, he's gonna let you know, because he won't shut the fuck up about horseshit gate last year, because he's the one that broke the story, and he loves to remind people about it. So I don't know if, like, I just feel like they're quietly shopping him, is what I think.
Yeah.
And I think they have been for quite some time. And I hate that. I hate it. Because I know he wants to, like, basically die as a Dallas Star. Like, I know this in my heart of hearts, and I don't want him moved. But I also don't want to see him be disrespected anymore, because they are so disrespectful to him. And I totally, friend of the pod, Sarah, made this comment that she would find it hard to play for that organization, considering what they've
especially
done
to him. Especially after horseshit gate, and then everything, and, like,
yeah. Like, I would have a hard time also playing for them with considering all of that. Like, it's hard to go to work when you know that everybody's fucking disappointed in you, and I think that he has a real problem with shit like that.
Yeah.
And I just don't want him to be sad anymore. And I don't know, I'm sure that part of it is aging. Like, he's, what, 30 now?
Yeah.
He's 30, he plays that big, powerful game where it's hard to sustain that for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And I don't ask me, I mean, we talked earlier, we were just BSing earlier when we were talking about it, because we're like, who the fuck would take that contract? You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
We were kind of BSing about reason. It, and I said that maybe the Kings might, and, like, you would only do a Kings trade if it was for somebody good, like Tyler Toffoli. Like, it would have to be anybody on that roster that's still producing, but of course, we know that they're cursed by the Taylor Swift curse, and what if treating Jamie Benn to the Kings brought the Taylor Swift curse to Dallas? These are things you have to consider.
Okay, yeah, I
hate this. I don't want to talk about it. Maybe I'm just missing the mark, and I'm just being too cynical. Like,
I don't know. No, I mean, it does make sense, but I don't think you are being too cynical. It really does feel like they are shopping him and trying to get him out. Although, I don't know why you wouldn't try to, like, fucking showcase him, but whatever. But, yeah, like, the fact that Jamie was literally not included. It wasn't Jamie and Tyler for the Winter Classic jersey. It was just Tyler.
I just think that's fucking weird. And, furthermore, with regards to that, you can't even buy the Tyler Seguin jersey with an A. Like, the whole Winter Classic jersey thing is so weird, because they're only making authentic ones. They didn't make any women's cuts, and they don't have any A's.
They don't have any letters at all?
The only letter they have is the C, which makes it even weirder that Jamie's not on any advertisements.
Oh my god.
It's super bizarre. It's super weird. Like, that's what I've noticed, because they've been very Tyler forward for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I feel like,
at actually, least since he signed last year.
Just to further take it back to Charlie from It's Always Sunny with the Carol, like, just to go that crazy, this all started because of Scott Burnside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
remember when Scott Burnside worked for the Stars and Jamie fucking hated him?
Yeah.
I feel like the seeds that we're seeing now were sown then, and they've grown with this, like, distrust and distaste of Jamie Benn, and it started with Scott Burnside.
Yeah.
And I will blame him because he is an evil toad, and I hate him. Anyways, I don't want that to happen. I hope they're just in a rut and, like, this will, like, I don't know, light a fire under their ass or something. I don't know. I don't know if that can be done. Like,
I don't know, man.
And I feel like this is also super reactionary with regards to the fact that they lost it to Winnipeg in OT today. Like, I feel like this all stirred up because of fucking Sean Shapiro. Again, he stirred it all up again. And
yeah.
It's his fault, and it's all, I hate that. It's all media driven stuff. He took a fucking leaf out of Josh Yohe's playbook.
Fuck, Josh. Fight me, Josh.
Fight me, Sean. Yeah, fight me, Sean. So, just all members of The Athletic except Katie Strang, fight me. That's genuinely how I feel sometimes, I'm not gonna lie.
I like Mark Lazarus's articles, but also I don't read any of his, like, serious stuff. I read his stuff that's like, oh, let's talk about all of the group chats and are there clicks on the Blackhawks? Like, that's what I generally read from Mark Lazarus.
I thought that it was pretty good.
He does some really fun. I think once a week he does something that he calls Offbeat, where he just does, like, a weird fun story, and I really like it. Also, I learned he talked to, after the Strome-Perlini trade last year, he talked about, like, when you get traded, and you are immediately on, like, on the ice for practice the next morning, and stuff like that. He talked about, like, what it takes to do a trade. He did an article with the guy who does the schedule. He did that article about the Jonathan Taves schedule, because Jonathan Taves is like, you know what, we need, climate change is real, y'all. And
single-use plastics.
And he put together, like, an idea. He won, you know. Anyway, so he did, like, this big schedule that's, like, better than what they have now. It's more of, like, a baseball-style schedule where you, like, go into town and do a full series. And it saves a bunch of, like, miles and
that
a bunch
makes
of
sense, though, hey?
Yeah, and, like, and it also, like, and then he mentioned today the Blackhawks were in Pittsburgh last night, and the Toronto was at home, and now the Blackhawks are in Chicago, and they got to Chicago, like, after midnight, and the Leafs are in Chicago, and they got to Chicago after midnight as well. So they're both, like, it's the second game of the back-to-back with travel for both of them, and, like, sometimes you, like, if you do a back-to-back, you don't get home until, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, all of this, like, and so a lot of the players really like this new schedule. The thing that it doesn't take into account is, like, arena availability, which I think is the real reason that the schedules are so messed up a lot, but I also know that, like, owners don't like it because of, like, you don't necessarily, sorry, that's my cat just sneezed. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily get to, like, go to every single, like, I think the way they did it was, like, the cross conference, like Connor McDavid would come to Sidney Crosby one year, and the next year Sidney Crosby would come to Connor McDavid, and they wouldn't do two a year. And so it's not a perfect schedule. It would be better for, like, the environment and also the players, but, like, it's not gonna happen. But, like, it was this whole article that Laz did, and I think he does really interesting stuff, and he doesn't necessarily stir shit up. Which, that's what I would do, like, if I were a fucking reporter on a team, I wouldn't care about like stirring shit up like that. You would do like a fun story, like to get to people would get to know
the team. Yeah.
The team.
I think that's what people would want more than anything anyways. Cause I feel like when you stir shit up like that, okay. So I wasn't going to talk about this either, but we might as well. So everybody's unfavorite racist uncle, Don Cherry, said some bullshit on Hockey Night Canada this weekend.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, I don't particularly think we need to rehash it, but I guess what someone on my timeline made the comment that, what the hell was it? It was such a good point. It was something about, I had it in my head and I just lost it. God damn it. Shit. I cannot believe I just lost what I was thinking of. It was such a good point. Like, I'm going to find it. Because it was such a good point. Oh, here it is. This is the point that they made. They said, so it's from Twitter user Dizzy Lou. Says, this is not the first time Don Cherry has been unforgivingly offensive, and it won't be the last. As long as you continue to employ him and give him a platform, he does represent your values and makes it okay for out-of-touch fans to respond in kind. And I think that's exactly what Sean Shapiro and Josh Yohe do, too. They make it easier for those people that are constantly negative about our teams to just rile up and talk about this bullshit forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I loved that point. I think that's a great point either way. Like, does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense, I guess?
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah. So, anyways, I'm super annoyed and fucked on Cherry. Like, fire him at Sportsnet. But they won't, because they're cowards.
Please.
They're cowards.
No, they're definitely not going to.
It doesn't represent what we stand for. Okay. Like, shit like that should get you fired. No matter what. Like.
Yeah. Especially if you were broadcasting it to the entire country and anyone with an internet connection. Yep. Like,
but hockey's for everyone, hey?
Oh, God.
I know. This has been too long as is. Do you have anything else to say? Oh, you need to tell me your stats. We haven't even talked about that.
I have to tell you stats. First of all, I want to say Patrick Sharp is incredibly handsome. Okay. All right. There were some fun stats this week. There was one shutout. It was Mikko Koskinen of the Oilers who shut out the Devils on the 8th. I don't know. Let's see. What else do I got? I got 2 hat tricks. Jacob Vrana of the Capitals in a 4-2 Caps win over the Flames. And Jonas Donskoy of the Avalanche in a 9-4 win over the Predators. We have to talk about that game. We are 6 weeks into the season. I mean, like, this is how we're going to tire. We are 6 weeks into the season. We have had 2 13-goal games. One of them was a 7-6, not even OT game. And then it was this weird fucking 9-4 game. The Avalanche went down, I think, 2-0. And then they scored 6 goals in the second in like 8 minutes or something ridiculous like that. And then they won 9-4, which is just fucking, did the Predators die? I don't understand.
If only.
So that happened. And then there was a, and then, like, the Bruins-Pens 6-4 game. There was a 6-5 Sharks-Wild game. And then
it was a 6-5 game today, the Florida Panthers and the New York Rangers. It was a final shootout.
Yeah. I don't know if shootouts technically count. They do. But, it's ridiculous. There's so many goals being scored. It's great. Speaking of goals being scored, there were 10 first goals this week.
Oh, heck yeah.
I know. The first one was last Sunday. The Chicago Blackhawks were playing the Ducks, and Adam Boqvist, who is their baby defenseman that they had literally just called up, scored And it was a 3-2 Hawks OT win. It was a power play goal. The other people on the ice were fucking Kirby Doc and Alex Nylander, also both rookies, and Jonathan Toews. I was like, this is incredible. I don't know who the other guy was. That's only four people, but that literally all three of their rookies on the ice for that goal. John Marino, I did already mention that one, his beautiful, beautiful first goal. Gayton, I'm assuming Haas, my best friend's last name is also spelled H-A-A-S, but she pronounces it Haas because we're dumb Americans. Gayton Haas.
You know, there were Haases around here, too.
Yeah, of the Edmonton Oilers in a 3-2 Coyotes win in OT. Cole Bardreau of the New York Islanders against the Senators in a 4-1 Isles win. It was the game winner. It was a penalty shot. I think he is a defenseman.
Oh, my
gosh. What did James Duffy say? New York kid, he broke his neck in college.
Holy
he
shit.
Spent six seasons in the minors, and he just scored his first NHL goal on a penalty shot, and it's the game winner, which is pretty incredible. I really like when they spend a bunch of time in the minors and then they get to come up and score. Connor Clifton of the
Sabrin.
Exactly. Get well soon, dude.
Yeah.
Connor Clifton of the Boston Bruins against the Habs in a 5-4 Habs win. Jacob Larsson of the Anaheim Ducks against the Wild in a 4-2 Wild win. Emil Bimstrom of the Blue Jackets against the Coyotes. 3-2 Jackets win. Blake Lizotte? I don't know. Lizotte? Who knows? Of the Los Angeles Kings against the Canadiens. 3-2 Habs win. Jonas Siegenthaler of the Washington Capitals. Siegenthaler? Oh, yeah. You know what? I think. Hold on. You're right. There is an R.
Yeah,
I didn't expand the column enough. Siegenthaler of the Washington Capitals against the Knights, 5-2 Capsman, and Ryan Lindgren of the New York Rangers against the Panthers today. Unfortunately, he did not win that one. The Panthers won in the shootout. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. 10 first goals. This week. I don't know what's going on. There's something in the water.
Lots of babies.
Lots of defensemen. At least three defensemen. I don't know if they're all defensemen.
Yeah.
At least three defensemen scored their first goals, which kind of makes sense. Like, we're about a month in. It's about time to start.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
What are you
doing? The Chicago-Toronto game.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Yep.
Are you ready to move on to ending the show?
That's pretty much all I got. Stats with Sam. Although I did see that Anthony Mantha scored the game-winning goal with 31 seconds of regulation left today, which means that they have won twice in the last 3 days, last two games. He's one of the first players. Because he also scored a go-ahead goal in at the beginning of October in the last minute of regulation. So it's pretty cool that he's doing that. Anyway, I love some Anthony Mantha.
I know that you do.
Oh, yeah. All right, that's all I got. It's time for Best Name in Hockey. All
right, this one's from The Vault.
Okay.
So, I love this. This one's from The Vault, and I'm going to give you... So, this is a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
He played in the 50s.
Okay.
14 years. And he's the first defenseman to win the Lady Byng Memorial Trophy.
Incredible.
And it is Bill Quackenbush. Hold on, because Bill, I don't know how he got the nickname Bill, because his name is genuinely Hubert George Quackenbush. But they called him Bill, and he played for both the Boston Bruins and the Detroit Red Wings.
Nice.
He won the Lady Byng in after the 1948-49 season, because he went that entire season without recording a penalty.
Wow.
So, and that penalty-less season was part of a total of 131 consecutive games played without a penalty.
Good job, dude.
Yeah. So, he was considered to be an elite offensive defenseman during his career. He was named to the NHL All-Star team 5 times. He played in 8 NHL All-Star games, and like I said, he was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in 1976. And let me go give you his season all-time stats. He played 774 games, scored 62 goals, had 222 assists for 284 total points. His total penalty minutes in 774 games, 95.
Wow.
95 pims. Incredible. Yeah, that's it. It looks like he went on to coach a couple of times. He coached the Princeton men's team and the Princeton women's team.
Oh, nice. Nice, dude.
He played from 42 to 1956. So.
Cool.
And then he passed away. He was born in 1922. And then he passed away in, September 1999. So, that is a brief overview of Bill Quackenbush. It's a great name!
It's a great name! Cool
dude! Like, I don't know, I love that! Like,
yeah.
Oh my, oh wait! Oh my god, he coached men's golf, too! At Princeton, he won 8 Ivy League championships with the men's golf team and 3 with the women's ice hockey team.
Wow.
Dude, Bill Quackenbush is a G. Hell yeah. Yeah. Holy smokes.
Okay.
That's cool. So, yeah.
All right.
So that's Bill Quackenbush, and that's this episode of Stick to Tape. If you're looking for us, you can find us on Twitter at Stick to Tape.
Our DMs are open. If you have any longer questions, comments, concerns, best name and hockey suggestions, you can email us at sticktotapepod@gmail.com. We also have an Instagram.
Is very bad at using.
Very bad at using it. I'm also very bad at using my personal Instagram, so it's fine. We're Stick to Tape on Instagram, too. And you can listen to us wherever you listen to your podcast. Don't forget to rate and review if you like us. Subscribe. Tell all your friends. At least tell a friend.
Thanks to Anchor for monetizing our podcast, which I still think is really effing cool.
It is really effing cool. And also, we get to see, like, our stats from our listeners, and we have some far-flung listeners, and I think that's pretty cool.
And we love all of you and want you to be our best friends.
We do. If any of you are going to the Winter Classic, you should hit us up, and we can do, like, a meetup.
Oh, that'll be fun. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we're going because we will be at the Winter Classic. And
we triple, like, dog dare you to meet up with us. Gauntlet's been, like, thrown.
Six weeks. So that's going to be pretty exciting. All right. And that's all I got. So stick to tape.
And remember, Jimmy Howard could never.